The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
Welcome back to our studio. My name's Mookie from 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Please know that we are listener-supported public radio right here in Los Angeles and Orange County. You can join us at any time and uplift public media at thesocalsound.org. And thanks to everybody listening locally and everybody listening worldwide on the SoCal Sound app. Just go to the App Store, search for The SoCal Sound. Live music in our studio once again. We've got Jensen McCrae performing for us right here. It's part of a SoCal Sound session. She's literally sitting in front of me right now, but we're going to get into the music and then have a chat with Jensen McCrae on The SoCal Sound.
Feel like God has a hidden end. She's thin and she's blonde and she smokes. She lives in a walk up in Flatbush and she's always in on and shows. She's just the right flavor.
Maybe God don't need to hide.
There you go. The song was called God Has a Hitman, and that's Jensen McRae. And she's in studio right now. Very excited to have you here in person.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here after our initial meeting on Zoom many moons ago.
I did a little bit of research and I pulled it up, our previous conversation, like during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that was 3 years ago.
Long time.
I know.
Much has changed.
Are you still based out of Southern California? We know born and raised, and we claim you as our own.
Yes, still an LA girl, probably forever.
Yeah.
Maybe one day it'll change, but I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Well, good. Don't move.
Okay.
If you could help it.
Okay.
Did you just get back from London?
I did. Yeah. I was playing 3 sold-out headline shows at St. Pancras Old Church, and it was a real whirlwind to do one that many shows back to back, and also to have them have sold out so quickly.
Incredible. Have you toured that area of the world before?
I've done a
or
little
have
bit
visited?
Of playing. Yeah, yeah, I've visited a ton, mm-hmm. Like with my family. Like, we've done a lot of trips out there, and then a couple years ago I played my first shows there, so it was a real treat to come back. I feel like I get along with the Brits. I feel like my sense of humor lands well there, mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm so excited. It's always been one of my favorite cities, so the fact that I keep getting opportunities to go back is just like furthering my agenda of spending half the year there one day, maybe. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we were pretty early on, I guess. You know, we found you, like I said before, sort of by accident, mm-hmm. From Twitter. You know, the song Immune, or at least a snippet of the song, really caught our attention at that time. Were the London shows part of the Noah Kahn opening thing?
The London shows were a separate wing from the Noah shows. But I fortunately was able to time it out, so I did a leg with Noah in the spring in Canada, doing my first arena shows, and then in earlier part of the summer doing some big amphitheaters, and then our last show with Noah got to get rescheduled because of a lightning storm, so I'm going back out with him again soon to play in Wisconsin. But in the middle of all of that, got to do my own headline shows in London.
Incredible. And I'm sure you admire Noah Kahn as a songwriter and musician, you know?
I mean, Noah is one of my favorite writers. Like, he's just so, so special. He's so genuine. He's so authentic. And like, every single thing he writes, like the thoughtfulness and the precision is just mm-hmm. amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, incredible. And so, you know, I've some music related questions, mm-hmm. but I mean, you know, the first time we talked to you, you know, it seems like you're a person who's just bursting with creativity, really.
I try.
You know, and it kind of flows through you like a river. I suppose.
Are you coming for my job?
Absolutely not. Are you still, you know, you had talked about, you know, being an author, writing mm. some fiction and or some poetry. Is there some stuff out there that people can get their hands on, or at this point it's sort of unpublished?
It's still mostly unpublished. I did start a Substack about a year ago, so I've been publishing a lot of my essays through that channel. And I'm still trying to write all of the other things. It's a really great way for me to break up like any kind of writer's block I might get as a musician. I can just pivot and focus on another medium. But mm-hmm. it's been really great channeling some of that into writing for my Substack and connecting with my audience like through a different format. I think a lot of them didn't realize that I had this other passion for writing long form.
So when it comes to the Substack stuff, I mean, what's the subject matter that you're generally writing about?
It's like half personal essays, like about my life, and half like pop culture commentary, because I'm a person who's
okay.
very invested in, like, especially writing about like music and like the music that I like, and analyzing the trajectory of the artists that I admire, and then also talking about my own life, giving people a little bit of a glimpse into the inspiration behind some of my songs, and like talking about like just the things that I've learned as a human person, because I feel like something that my professors used to say a lot is like our job is to be kind of the guiding light for people just a few years behind us. So I sort of see myself as a big sister in many ways, in addition to being an actual big sister to my younger brother, mm. being a big sister to my audience and being able to give them the things that I've gleaned through my own like lessons and life tribulations.
Yeah, I find myself taking great pride in teaching, you know, mm. younger people as well with yeah. all the stuff that I've learned in this particular business, you know.
Of course, yeah.
You've said before that you don't have a main character syndrome. You have a narrator syndrome, which
yes.
possibly means that you just love telling stories.
Yes, yes. I think that it's, I mean, sometimes it's to a fault, but I really do like to sit back and observe, and I really love returning from anything exciting happening in my life with the purpose of writing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I haven't been journaling as much recently because I have started to get to a point of being too busy to record everything that happens to me. But I do really, really like when I can take the time to do that. And to, I mean, of course, everything that I write, whether it's music or anything else, is drawn from my own life. So it's important to have a keen eye and constantly be taking notes.
Mm-hmm. Again, we got Jensen McCray here in studio for a SoCal Sound session. Our listeners might be familiar with songs like Wolves, Starting to Get to You, and of course, Immune. We were early on that particular song. There's some releases that people can get their hands on right now. A couple of EPs you released perhaps in college. Are those recordings?
Those are gone. Those are gone. Those are long gone.
Those are extremely rare.
Yes.
The most rare.
Very limited edition.
There's an EP, Who Hurt You. There's an LP, Are You Happy Now? There's a recent visual EP on YouTube right now as well. And what exactly is a visual EP?
Well, I was really inspired by like the visual album wave, of course, but like I knew that I was in a transitional period of like being between like full album cycles. And so I wanted to create something that was visually appealing and that also captured some of the magic of like live performance as mm-hmm. well, because I've been really fortunate to be able to tour the last couple of years, but I haven't gotten to go everywhere. And so I wanted to create like an artifact of live performance that my fans who haven't seen me live can still access. And I just had been writing so much music and I was like, why not put out these five brand new songs purely in a live performance format and create like this mini narrative for people to latch onto. And it was a really, really exciting project because it was something that I was very much like my brainchild and like something that I pushed for a lot. And the people who helped me make it were just so all in and invested and exceptional. And I'm so happy with how it turned out. And it's now been almost a year since I put it out, which is
great. Yeah, the videos are great and the sound quality is impeccable. Where did you shoot that visual EP?
We shot that at Speakeasy Studios. Mm-hmm. In Burbank, mm-hmm. and it was actually where I also did a lot of recording of the first album. So it was cool to go back into that place where I had done that. It was very nostalgic. Like at that point, it had been like 4 years since I'd been there. So it was a cool place to return to it. And just ended up being aesthetically like the perfect backdrop
sure,
for it as well.
Absolutely. Again, we got Jensen McCray here. I have so many more questions, mm-hmm. but we're going to get back into another song, if you don't mind. Let Me Be Wrong. Can you give us perhaps a little context?
The joke that I have, that I tell when I'm on stage introducing the song, is that it's about how I wish I was Fleabag, but I'm actually Lisa Simpson. and about being like a high achieving person who has a hard time being wrong and has a hard time making mistakes and trying to allow yourself the privilege and the grace to make those mistakes and learn from them.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. It's Jensen McCray on the SoCal Sound.
Trash my gut and belly flop. Call the coward just to talk. Though it's never worth the cost to dance on glass with my shoes off. Something rotting in my brain tells me do it anyway. And do not fear the long decay. And don't ask God if it's okay. Let me be wrong. Ride love till the wheels fall off. Right, but delusional. Loud at a funeral. Let me get lost. A heart weighs the way I want. And I've been good too long. Let me be wrong. Free my tongue, go rogue and me. Those girls at 17, they got glass ceilings and rings. Fuck, those girls got everything. Something twisted in my chest says I'm good but not the best. When I was young, that knocked me out, but nothing really shakes me now. Too long. Let me be wrong.
There you go. Let Me Be Wrong. That's a song from Jensen McRae, who is in our studio right now on 88.5, the SoCal Sound. Again, it's so nice to be able to catch up with you once again, this time in person. You've been pretty active, I guess, on social media, interacting with your fan base and stuff like that, which is really, really great. You had mentioned that you really aren't shy about putting some of your material up there. You're not concerned if something flops, you know, sort of fearless in that regard. Is that true?
I mean, I suppose so. It's been so long since I've had that fear that now it feels second nature. I just realized that, like, I think a lot of my friends who struggle with social media see it as like an extension of the self in a way that I don't necessarily do anymore. I know that it's a representation of me and it's important to put my best foot forward, but I really do think of it as like almost like a factory that I clock into and can clock out of. And like the output and the conveyor belt that I put myself on, it's all just in service of building an audience, building the practice of constantly having to create material and to constantly be in contact with these people who are supporting my art. And so any one video is not going to make or break anything. And any one song that I write is not going to make or break anything. And so I realized that not being precious about it was a lot more helpful in building that audience and building that relationship.
Right. I love that. I love that attitude, you know, and I guess you have to have thick skin sometimes because you never know what people are going to say, you know, on the internet.
It's true. I mean, I've been very fortunate, but I guess knock on wood, that I haven't had like a ton of negative comments, but they do come in. And like, of course, you know, when especially like with something like Massachusetts, like a song that I posted and then it became this runaway thing that I totally lost control of. Like, even though it was the vast majority of the response was positive, I fixated on the negative comments and like, it's very easy to get caught up in those. But it's just, again, it's really important to remember that like, even assuming there was, the ratio was reversed and there was like 10,000 negative comments, it's like, that's still 10,000 people in a world of 8 billion. So like, it's very easy to feel like everyone on the internet and everyone is everyone in the world and that therefore everyone in the world is against you. And that's just almost never true.
Amazing. Yeah, that's some really great insight, actually. How similar are the songs Immune and Massachusetts?
Well, I mean, they're very different in many ways because Massachusetts is like the most, one of the most personal songs I've ever written with like a lot of really specific detail included about the person I wrote it about. And Immune is a complete fabrication. Like, it's a fictional song.
Well, both songs were posted online, just really, you know, snippets of unfinished songs. Is that right? So I guess there's a similarity there.
Yeah, I'd say the overlap is like there's a lot of narrative. Like, there's a very clear story that I think people latched onto. And like, even in Immune, which I, you know, I did make up, like the characters involved in it, like I tried to ground it in a lot of specific detail because I was inspired by Phoebe Bridgers when writing the song. And I wanted that to be like a recognizable motif of extremely specific autobiographical detail. And so both of them like drop you into a scene very quickly, even though one of them was drawn from my life and one was not.
Have you met Phoebe?
We've met once. We've like talked on Twitter a little bit, but she's very busy. So I'm not surprised that there hasn't been a ton of overlap. But she was very happy with the song and she's very, very sweet.
That's amazing. When people cover your material online, and that's never a bad thing, right?
No, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's like kind of the most flattering thing is if someone covers my music or if I get a comment saying like, seeing this made me want to start writing more. Like those are kind of the most, that's kind of the biggest honor that there is that I could bring up about creativity in another person.
You mentioned your professor before and, you know, a little bit of your background. It's been said that you started off on the piano quite young, right? You went to a Grammy camp in high school, I believe, that sort of swayed you in the direction of really pursuing music.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to be a musician like my whole conscious life, but I didn't really know what the trajectory of that looked like because I didn't, I mean, my family has always loved music, but like no one in my family like worked in music. So I didn't have like a blueprint of like how one does that. And I went to a very competitive private high school. And so I always thought that I would just go to like a top college and I would pursue music on the side. And then in going to Grammy camp, I found out about the pop music program at USC. And I realized that like that was really the only place that I wanted to be. And so Grammy camp was very instrumental in like steering me on that path and realizing that music school was going to be part of my journey.
And then from there, USC and what the degree is in pop music, is that right?
Yes, popular music performance with an emphasis in songwriting.
Incredible.
Yeah. Very, very unusual and very, very lucky that I got to do that.
You are an inspiration to a lot of us and it makes me want to go out and be creative myself, you know? you are branching out now into the podcast world?
I'm trying. Yeah. About a year ago, I've always talked about wanting to do a podcast. I love to yap. That's very evident. Love to chit chat. And my mom, when I was younger, was always telling me that I should have a talk show, which obviously the contemporary talk show model is often the podcast model. And so one day I just decided, like, why wait until I have a bigger platform? Why wait until I have, like, you know, people demanding it? Why not just start it now? And then as my platform grows, people will have this backlog of this archive to return to. So I started a podcast called What Were You Thinking, where I interview other creatives about, like, basically how it felt to achieve career milestones and, like, what was going through their mind when they got their first radio hit, when they booked that movie role, when they found out their book was getting published, whatever the case may be. Because I think that's, like, something that I'm so fascinated about. It's like, how does it feel when you actually achieve your dreams? Like, what is the, where were you when you got the call and what was it like in that moment?
Incredible. And I'm sorry, the podcast is called what now?
It's called What Were You Thinking?
Amazing. And you're doing that quite regularly.
About once a month, yeah.
Love that. Love that. Again, Jensen McCray is here on 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Thank you for coming into this listener-supported public radio station. You know, would you ever consider being a radio DJ yourself one day?
Oh, absolutely. I really do love to, I love to banter, I love to ad lib, I love to MC. I think, I've been told my voice is nice to listen to, so.
You love to curate?
Yeah, I do love to curate. I've gotten to do some guest spots on radio before where I get to pick out some tunes,
right.
So I would not rule the possibility out at all.
I love that, and we feel like public media and public radio is really where it's at. And
you know, I agree.
It represents, you know, the past as well as the future, quite frankly. It's been said that, you know, Massachusetts, we're about to get into a great live version of that song, and our listeners are probably familiar with that. We call that a local music spotlight, because, again, you are born and raised here in SoCal. Perhaps a new record in 2025, is that right?
It seems that that could be on the horizon, yes. I've been working on a lot of new music, and I'm very excited about being able to share it and be able to share more information about it when I can. But yeah, a lot of new music is coming.
Okay. Maybe hitting us from a different angle, different standpoint, different, way of thinking.
I would say, I mean, my first album is very much like a coming of age album. I wrote it mostly when I was in college. And this second album was written when, you know, in my mid-20s. And so I explore a lot of things that I had never experienced before. And so it's a lot of the same, it's the same person, of course, going through it. It's a lot of the same perspective of being a deeply curious, deeply observant, deeply sensitive person, but just like exploring these new phases of life that come with like the middle of that defining decade.
Right. That, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Again, thanks so much for being here. There was another question, but I can't read my chicken scratch writing. The song Massachusetts, we've been playing it for several weeks now. And, you know, I personally am so far removed from the dating scene or, you know, something like that. But I tell you, you have a way of relating to people through your music, you know, and it just... you know, the song, this particular song gave me all the feels.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're killing it right now.
Thank you.
And open door policy, come by the radio station whenever.
I appreciate that.
For sure. And hopefully we could work on stuff together for years to come.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's get into it now. It's Massachusetts. Jensen McCray right here on 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Thanks again.
Me they're from Massachusetts. Now I always ask what why. I wonder if you kept the pilgrim ashtray, if it's still propped on your bar cart. Could make a grand offer the chain you bought me. Goddamn, it's not for sale. When someone asks me who's my favorite Batman, I'll think of you and say Christian Bale. As long as I live, I'll remember the names of your favorite beers and your video games. The look on your face when you turn 26 and your dad got too stoned. Yeah, that one's gonna stick. You broke me. sound so fake. I wonder if your tongue is turning over anything I used to say. Your sister's trying for a baby lately, and your parents got new jobs. It's getting darker, so I turn you down, but I can't turn you off.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Mark Mookie Kazor. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.